Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right rail. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
Yeah,
Chris McMonagle. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side. That's the number to call as we take you for the next 3 hours until the warm-up show at 5. And I know what we do here. And I know how that game ended. And I know what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson on the sidelines as they are watching the Knicks waste away the game with campaign running the offense. And yes, I'm pissed about it, and we will get into it, and I'm annoyed at the coach, and I've been critical of the coach throughout this entire series and even parts of this regular season. But that is not why the New York Knicks lost this game. The New York Knicks lost this lousy game because that's the kind of effort they gave. An absolute lousy effort. I talked about it last night. These closeout games, which they've been unable to do now at home since 1999, and this harkens back to last year where they were unable to do it against the 76ers, and Maxey had that incredible game, but the effort that the Knicks came out with on a game where you're trying to put away an opponent that you know is tough as nails, whatever we want to talk about, whether we think the coach is legit, and I had my issues with him, if I were a Pistons fan, whether or not there's enough talent to compete with the Knicks, you know how they're going to come out and play this game. And quite honestly, while their effort was there, they were miserable again offensively to start this game. But the New York Knicks, and no one escapes criticism. Maybe Mitch Robinson. He might be the only one I give a break to. But the rest of this team and the way they came out and the effort they gave in a game where you're trying to close out a series, get yourself some rest, and get ready for what is the ultimate challenge of this year. And the Boston Celtics, who've now moved on after demolishing the Orlando Magic in the second half of their game, their put-away game, they managed to do it. From the start of the game where they had no offense, I mean, Jalen Brunson is terrible in this game. Let's be fair. As much as we love Brunson, as much as I called him the greatest closer in the game, and it really sucked that he wasn't on the floor with a chance to prove it, and I understand that's the conversation. But man, oh man, how do they come out? And what is the, like, you can feel the difference in the Knicks' body language, in the Knicks' effort on the road and in this building. And to allow this Pistons team to win two out of the three games so far, played at Madison Square Garden, and to allow them to come out and be the tougher team, the more physical team, the team that gets better offensive looks, gets more easy runs to the basket. In a game where this fan base was ready to have their first closeout since 1999, ready to move on and talk about their chance to take on the Boston Celtics, this team did not go out there and take it. And you felt it from the beginning of the game. From the beginning of the game, the effort was not there. The free throws are not there. Like, simple things to miss. What'd they miss? 11 free throws in this game? 16 of 27 in a three-point game to miss 11 free throws, to shoot the way they did, to come out with the energy they came out with again is so disappointing and so frustrating. And we talked about this last night, how I really felt like this was a kind of game where you can learn a lot about the Knicks. And then I was listening to Gio, and he was talking about a statement game for not only themselves, but the rest of the NBA, and even the Boston Celtics. And I understand that now it's a fait accompli. They're going to get killed by the Celtics. And many of you, including myself at times, felt like that was never a real threat, and they were never a real, they were never really threat to take down the Boston Celtics or have an opportunity with them, blah, blah, blah. But this was the kind of game that you learn about what kind of team you have. And we've had so many questions, about what kind of toughness this team is, what they're capable of, whether or not they're as tough and unified and cohesive as last year's team and the issues with it, and obviously Cat disappearing at times. And where the hell is Cat in this game? Again, I don't know why the same things that they struggled with in the first two games of this series that turned around in games 3 and 4 that are back. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care what's going on. Karl Anthony Towns, there should not be a single half of any of these games from here on out for the rest of his Knick career where he is as little involved in the offense. I know he's in foul trouble, and that's I know he's in foul trouble, but one shot in the first half, he's got one basket. Also, he's been so productive from three. There are no threes from him. He's not involved in the offense. It was a ugly first half that they managed to be in a point ahead at halftime, which was miraculous. But, I mean, you let the Pistons come out and be as bad as they were offensively and as sloppy, and the Knicks were turning the ball over like crazy at the beginning of this game. They came out with no energy, sloppy, couldn't hit a shot, turning the ball over. Brunson's giving you nothing. Karl Anthony Towns is giving you nothing. OG Anunoby is the only one keeping them in the game offensively in the early parts of this game. And it's miraculous with the way they played that they're up at the by a point at halftime. Miraculous. And then the same thing that happens every third quarter, as they put up the graphic on how badly they've been outscored in the third quarter, the same level of intensity is not there again. At the third quarter, this is the game you have to go out and take it. And this is why I'm not so focused on Tibbs. And I have been before. That I thought they fixed some of their problems in games 3 and 4. And to revert back to the same crap, as much as I'm frustrated with, and we'll get to it, as much as I'm frustrated with not calling the timeout, and he absolutely should have, as frustrated I am with that, I never for a second felt like this Knick team understood the opportunity they had tonight and what needed to happen tonight, and they never came out with the intensity to go take the game. Ever. And I got to be totally honest with you, at the end of the game, as bad as they played in the second half and as bad as they were in the third quarter, and you know, watching those miracle threes, as Mikal Bridges hits that runner three, and as OG Anunoby hits that miracle three with Cunningham in his face, where was this for the entire second half of the game? And I know Mikal Bridges was their offense in the fourth quarter. I think this is a major thing for me, too, because I am so disappointed in him. Even his mid-range game that has been so key for him this entire season, and it felt like at almost, you know, when they were struggling offensively, at least you can count on his mid-range game to get you a bucket or two. And I know he leads the team in scoring in the fourth quarter. But did you ever really feel like Mikal Bridges was playing a crisp brand of basketball, or was hitting shots or you were getting any real impactful offense out of him. He's missing big shot after big shot. And, I mean, OG Anunoby didn't play well defensively. There were blocks early on in this game. He was really their only player offensively and defensively, so maybe I'll give him a break. But the level of intensity and fight and understanding that the Pistons, who are a tough team, that they were going to come out with and try and save their season, and that it wasn't matched by this Knicks team again. And what is going on with their effort in this building? They are. I know all of them have been close. I know all the games have been close. But to me, you watch the way they played in Detroit, it felt completely different. The way Karl Anthony Towns has played in Detroit to compare to home is completely different. This was a lousy effort from the opening tip. And they were lucky that Cunningham was in foul trouble. They were lucky that, you know, they were shooting as miserably as the Knicks were to start this game. And this is like back-to-back games now where the Pistons can't find the basket in the first half, and it still has to come down to the final seconds of every game. Like, at some point, if you are going to be a team who could beat the Boston Celtics, like, you have to be able to separate yourself from a Pistons team who can't score.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And they just never can. And we saw this last year, and we're seeing it again. This was a game to end this series, get some time before you have to face Boston. And instead, now you're in a dogfight going back to that building against the Pistons team that I'm telling you right now believes with every fiber of their being that they are going to win this series. A Pistons team that has taken 2 out of 3 in this building would not be scared for a second to come back for a game 7. And if you take away, let's be totally honest here. If they call a foul, which was a foul, and I know I yelled about it all day yesterday. It should have never been called 2 days ago. It should have never been called. I totally agree with the way that game was officiated. And clearly, that's another element of this game, completely officiated differently. I mean, the amount of fouls called compared to the way they officiated the game in the first 4 games of this series was, and I talked about this, I sensed that coming after that non-foul call and the controversy that surrounded it. You had a feeling this game was going to be called more tightly, which should, in theory, be beneficial to the Knicks. But, again, unable to come through. At And like I said, you're going back now to game six in Detroit. And if it weren't for that non-foul call, if they called a foul in that spot, you could argue with the way some of this series has gone, with the way they've played in all three games in Madison Square Garden and that foul call, it could easily be 3-2 Detroit. Easily. This is a Pistons team that believes they can win this series. That's what you gave them. You gave them an opportunity to say, hey, we have taken everything the Knicks have. Yes, we've lost two games at home, but we've won two out of three in the Garden. And we have outplayed them for most of this series. That is how this Pistons team is feeling right now. And now you're going to go back to a raucous building and an atmosphere that, yes, they've been able to win. And certainly I'm not telling you the Knicks can't win game six. And I sort of expect them to win game six. But why can't they come out with an urgency in these game fives and closeout games? Why can't they come out with an urgency in their building? And yes, let's get to it. Absolutely, in my mind, Thibodeau can't stand there and watch the offense run through Campaign and Mikal Bridges for 2 minutes while the possessions are horrible and allow what was a tie game after the three-pointer from Cat, and after both go down on the same play as Brunson tweaks his ankle on a floorboard and Hart gets hit you know where and both have to go off the floor. You can't sit there. I don't care if you only have one timeout left. I don't care. And I'm watching the post game, and they're like, well, you have to make sure you have that final timeout if you need in the last few seconds to move the basketball to half court. They used the timeout after a basket anyway. They didn't have a timeout. And when Brunson gets the ball on the side when they almost steal it with 5 seconds left, and he has to try and throw it off of Beasley or whichever defender it was at the time. Like, they don't even have the timeout there because they had to use it to stop the clock eventually. Stop the clock immediately. You need Brunson on the floor. He just accepted the award for the most clutch player in the NBA. He's the best closer in the NBA, and he's who you run the offense through in the last 3 minutes of the game. And he's who pulled the game out of the fire every single opportunity he's done in the postseason. And you're allowing him and Josh Hart to sit there in hopes of the game being close enough to even need the timeout? It's a crappy circumstance that I wouldn't want to find myself in. And I understand. And then Tibbs in the post game gives you, well, he's almost baffled by the question. When I first see him ask the question, he's like, well, what do you mean? What am I supposed to do? I ain't got one timeout left. No! Use it. You cannot waste the game away with Brunson standing there and him and Hart looking at each other all frustrated because the clock's not stopping and they can't get in the game. You cannot allow the offense to run through Campaign. It can't happen. Not with 2 minutes left. And to just go on coaching decisions, and then when asked, you know, specifically what's going through his mind, well, you know, everything. The amount of timeouts we have. Obviously, you can't foul. You can't put them at the line. So that I agree with. But you got to call the timeout. But it comes down to everything. Time, clock management, fouls, timeouts. Like, yeah, okay, great. You just listed off a bunch of things that, yeah, we all think should be part of your decision-making. But how did those things lead you to allow the best player in the NBA in these moments all year long to stand there on the sidelines? So, yes, I'm as frustrated and annoyed as anybody at the coach for that decision. But to me, that is not why they lost the game. That is, should not be the biggest talking point coming out of the game, and I know it will be. To me, this was an opportunity to show that they are capable of going and taking the heart of their opponent, going out there and taking a series and not letting it linger. And now they're going to be exhausted having to go to game six. I wouldn't be surprised if they have to come back for a game seven. And if they don't win this series, it's an absolute colossal failure. And we're not there yet. And I understand it's not a must-win game, but the effort level has to be better. And at the you let the Detroit Pistons, who won 14 games last year, who you are vastly more talented than, You let them come and take two of the first three games in Madison Square Garden, and if it wasn't for a 21-0 run in the fourth quarter of game one, they outplayed the Knicks for all three games at Madison Square Garden? And this is a team I'm supposed to believe can beat the Boston Celtics? This is a team and a group and a core that I'm supposed to believe is going to lead the Knicks in one of the next two, three, 4 years to an NBA championship when they allow the Pistons to come in and outplay them in all three games in Madison Square Garden and lose two of them? And not be able to close out the series? And have Brunson play his worst game of the series? Have Karl Anthony Towns go invisible again? Have Mikal Bridges apparently be the offense in the fourth quarter while still missing every big shot? Like, other than some defense from OG Anunoby, I mean, and other than Mitch Robinson getting to the basket, getting big offensive rebounds, getting big steals, and if I see, I swear to God, if I see one more steal given right back, I have never seen so many in a damn series. And to be fair, the Pistons are doing the same thing. But how many times have the Knicks made a play, got a turnover, only to give the ball back? Josh Hart, they had an opportunity to make a real kind of push as they're getting, I think the game was tied or they're down a point. They get a steal. He goes right down the floor and tries to throw a lob to Mitch Robinson and gives it right to Schroeder. Like, that was an opportunity to take real momentum, and instead you give it right back to them and they go down the court and make a layup. And Campaign at the end of the game is the one hitting big three-pointers. He's the one getting the big shots. While Mr. Clutch is standing by the clock waiting to come in. It was a terrible look. It was a terrible end of the game, but quite honestly, just the effort from jump. And that's why I'm frustrated, because you knew it was going to take a major effort to put this Detroit Pistons team down. And it will continue to be. The fourth and final game is always the toughest to get. And they came out with no urgency and no feel of that. Being up 3-1 doesn't win you a series. And it felt like the Knicks came out figuring this would be another win instead of fighting tooth and nail. And yeah, a lot of it's Brunson didn't hit a damn shot. Took him forever to get his first basket. It's also, he's missing free throws. Oh my God, he's missing technical foul free throws. He's missing free throws at the start of the game. Like, they missed 11 free throws. Now, thankfully, so did Detroit, so it's hard to scream about. And also, I have no issues with the refereeing. None. You knew after that game the other night and that no call that they were going to do it much tighter. I thought it was a fairly officiated game. All you want is consistency. Now, it's not consistent throughout the series, but it has been consistent in every game. I have zero issue with the way the game was refereed. And you knew if it was going to come down again, a foul late in the game was going to be called. But to me, yes, the coach made it a colossal error in my estimation. I'm screaming at the television, call a timeout. I'm listening to Breen. I watched the MSG version. I'm listening to Breen go, well, you only got one timeout. You can't call a timeout. And I'm like, why? Why can you not call a timeout? I don't care about the final timeout. The game is being lost. I can't just stand there and watch the game be lost. But as frustrated as I am with that, this game was lost from the opening tip. I hated everything about this game. I hated the way Brunson played. I hated the way Bridges played. I hated the way Karl Anthony Towns played. I hated the effort. I hated the offensive game plan. I hated everything about this game other than Mitch Robinson and maybe the way OG Anunoby was playing defense in the first half. Other than that, there wasn't a damn redeeming quality from this entire Knick team on a game where it was an opportunity to put down an opponent and get ready for what is going to be a damn near impossible task of taking down the defending champs. And instead, now they got to go tomorrow night back into that building and hope that they can recapture what they've been able to do in games 3 and 4 in Detroit. What a miserable performance. And mainly and foremostly, I am just disappointed in this Knick team. I am disappointed in the Knick team that took the floor. I am disappointed they didn't recognize the way they were going to need to play to win this game. I'm disappointed in the effort. I'm disappointed in the coach. I'm disappointed in the two-star players. I am just thoroughly disgusted and disappointed in how they played. And now they have to go back to Detroit, win one of the next two games, which I still think they will. But I got to be honest, not that this game would have dictated ultimately, I don't even know how much it would have impacted the Boston series, but I would have felt like they were the kind of team who understood that this game was important, put away an inferior team when you had the opportunity, and had a couple of days to get ready for a Boston Celtics team, and instead, they still have their hands filled with this Detroit Pistons team, and I'm sick over it. 888-808-1019. That's the phone number. McMonagle here with you. Let's take Charles here in the first in the open here before we get to the break and before we get to more of your calls. Charles, what's going on, man?
What's up, C-Mac? How you doing, man?
I've been better.
Me too, man. Before I get to my point on Thibodeau and just the whole game overall, I'll just say, in my opinion, I think maybe you would share this opinion. If they lose Game 6, I have a hard time believing they're going to come back to the Garden where they've been outplayed this entire series and beat a highly motivated, highly excited to play Pistons
with all the momentum. I agree with you. This look, is it, do I think they can't win that game? No, I mean obviously I think they could win that game, but I wouldn't be that confident about it. I'll be totally honest with you. I probably, like, in my mind, I probably feel better about them winning this game 6 than I even would about them coming home to win a game 7. I agree with you. They've been outplayed at this building. They're back wasn't against the wall against Philadelphia. We'll see how they would handle a game 7 with everybody healthy, assuming. But I don't disagree. They've been outplayed in this building. And this, they did not come out as if this was a game 7. They should have come out with game 7 intensity for this game 5 100%. To end this series. And they did not. They just flat out did not. We can praise him. And I'm not saying he's a bum. And I just called him the best closer in the game. But we have to admit, Brunson played terribly tonight.
He was not good.
He was not good.
And then he missed a ton of shots down the stretch in the fourth quarter even before they took him out and he had to bring him back there late in the minute and he didn't get a chance to because he didn't call the timeout, which was just ridiculous, by the way.
But on top of that,
he was going for floater. He was going in to try and take shot after shot after shot. He was missing. Let's be honest with ourselves. Brunson came up empty
He was missing layups. He missed layups and free throws.
Forget the
difficult shot. He had a terrible game. He had a terrible game. I mean, it doesn't mean he won't show up and score 50 tomorrow tomorrow. But let's be honest, he was terrible. He's 4-for-16 from the floor, 1-of-4 from three-point land. And it was kind of a miracle shot. It actually led to the run. He hits that three-pointer with the shot clock running down, a kind of a miracle three that rattles in, and it leads them to the run that gets them to a tie game. They're down 10 points. They're down 9 points, I think, 9, when he hits that three. And it leads them on a run, and you feel like, okay, here we go. This is where they're gonna take over. But it shouldn't even come to that. But he was terrible in this game. Terrible. And even though, Bridges, when you look at it, and you're going to say, well, he led them in fourth quarter scoring. He had a couple. He was really the only guy scoring in the fourth quarter. He's 7-of-16 from the floor, 2-from-5 from three. I'm still disappointed in the way Mikal Bridges played this game. I am. OG Anunoby, maybe I'll give him a pass. I'd like to see him get to the foul line, especially in a game where they were calling everything the way they were. But early on in the first half, he was kind of their offense. And, I mean, what do you have? 3 blocks in this game, I think, all in the first half. Like, he was keeping them, like, they were so bad offensively. Both teams were. Like, OG was their offense. But, again, Karl Anthony Towns, 17 points, it feels, like, I'm not impressed with 17. It feels emptier than 17. Like, that's an empty 17 points. He ends up getting 11 rebounds, 17 points. But Mitch Robinson plays 23 minutes in this game. He's 5-of-8 from the floor. He has 11 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Like, his performance was about it. That was the best game. And then I think you could argue at the end of the game, before the timeout, when when both Brunson and Hart have to leave the floor, instead of having Deuce and Campaign on the floor, I'd almost rather have Mitch Robinson instead of Campaign, or I'd rather have Mitch Robinson instead of Deuce. Like, put Mitch out there and at least defend. At least defend the rim as best as you can while you don't have Brunson and Hart on the floor. And he was getting offensive rebounds and putting it back. I'd rather almost that than those two guards playing at that point. Like, and to just watch the clock go and not have Brunson on the floor, it's a disaster. But I'm so frustrated with the entire team that I'm not going to get hung up on it. I disagree with it. I think it's a terrible moment for Tibbs. I thought his answers in the post game made no sense, and he was just saying coach's decision. That's why I made the decision. That's it, and that's fine. Whatever. But we all know how important this series is for Coach Thibodeau. Like, we all know. If they do not win this series, if they lose three in a row after being up 3-1, I think the noise to move on from Tibbs is going to be extremely loud. Now, I still don't expect that. This team has rallied back, and now this is a huge game tomorrow night because anything can happen in Game 7. And as the last caller just said, as Charles just told us, I agree. They have been outplayed in all three games at Madison Square Garden. And as much as I want to give the Pistons credit for how they've played, and they've been physical, and they've been better than I thought they would be, they did not play overly well in this game. Yeah, their intensity level was better, but they got into foul trouble. They couldn't hit a shot. Like, they were terrible offensively, and really the first halves of both of these last two games. Like, they haven't played all that well offensively in the last handful of games, and these games have been way too close, and they blow this one. This was just an awful effort, top to bottom. And Brunson has got to come out and be much better. And Karl Anthony Towns, and I'll put this at the coach too, I got to be fair. I was on him the way they played, and Karl Anthony Towns was involved in the offense in the first two. I applauded him for making game plan changes and having a change in 3 and 4 in Detroit. In this game, I'm sorry, you have got to make an emphasis to get Karl Anthony Towns involved. When he is scoring, and I know, and he wasn't great either. He was missing shots too that he was typically making the last couple games. He was making some real tough shots over the games 3 and 4. Wasn't there tonight. But when Brunson is struggling, you have got to find a way to involve him more in the game. It can't just be as simple as he shows up some nights, he doesn't show up others. Like, it can't be that simple. The coach has got to make sure. So I'm not blaming him necessarily, and Karl Anthony Towns has my anger as well. But the coach has got to find a way to get Karl Anthony Towns more involved. He's got to make a point of it. Just an ugly performance in a game where they had an opportunity to end this series, and we could be talking about taking on the Celtics. And an impressive series against the Detroit Pistons team, who really came to play, gave them a hard-fought series, played physical, and is a good opening test before Boston. But now it feels like, well, and now it's not just an opening test. Now you're fighting for your life. And now you're going back to this building again in Detroit to try and win all three games in Detroit. It's not easy. It's not easy. And this is a huge game. You do not want to come back for a Game 7 with the Pistons having all this momentum. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your Nick calls. We'll obviously get to the baseball as well. As really as me and Fleas were talking about it, fortunately, we were able to just focus on the Knicks as both the Mets and Yankees were having blowout victories, but there were some really great defensive moments. There were some great offensive moments. And yes, Carlos Rodon does it again, proving all the haters wrong.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and banks it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Linsanity continues here in Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:38. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. A disappointing effort, a disappointing game as the Knicks fall to the Pistons, 106-103. We had to watch the end of the game waste away without having Jalen Brunson on the floor. And I'm not trying to minimize that moment because I do think Tibbs made a colossal error. I do. I think you have to call the timeout. It sucks. It's not ideal. You'd like to be able to save that timeout for the end of the game, but you cannot watch the and if you saw the offensive possessions, like, you just can't let it continue. You had to have your best player in there. You just have to. Like, again, I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan or that he's, you know, the greatest player in NBA history, but can you imagine Michael Jordan sitting or standing by the desk waiting to come into a game while Steve Kerr is running the offense? Like, you have to get him in there. You have to. You have to. I don't care the circumstances. I don't care what's going on. You can't foul because I can't give them 2 points. They're in the bonus. I can't foul. I have to use my timeout. I have to. I can't play the rest. I can't let that last 2.5 minutes of the game be played without my closer, without my best offensive player, without the most clutch player in the NBA. I cannot have it happen. Not having a timeout sucks, and if it came down to that, we'd all be annoyed by it. But there are things I can live with and things I can't live with. And I cannot live with miserable offensive possessions down 3, down 5, with 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes left, without my best offensive player on the floor while he's just waiting there to come back in. I can't do it. I can't do it. I literally cannot do it. Let me be second guessed. Let the game come down to that timeout. It can't come down to Tibbs' inactivity. I can't just sit there and watch it happen while I'm losing the game. So I am 100% on the side of Tibbs made a huge error and did something I couldn't imagine being able to do. Not that I'm an NBA head coach by any means. I'm just saying I would not be able to physically, I would have to call timeout and get him in there. I can't watch the game without Brunson in it in the last 2 minutes. Can't do it. So I know that's going to be a big talking point. Call me up, 888-808-1019. Tell me if you agree, disagree. Zerbiak at the end of the game, in the post game, is like, hey, what are you going to do? You got to trust your players. You need that timeout for the end. I completely disagree. I don't need that timeout. I'd like that timeout. I don't need that timeout. I need Jalen Brunson on the floor in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game. That's what I need. That's who this Knick team is. The last 2 minutes of the game with Jalen Brunson making plays is who the Knicks are fundamentally. That's who they. That's how they've won these games in this series. That's how they won the games last year against Philadelphia. That's who they are. I can't live without being able to be who I am in a closeout game at home against this Pistons team and not be able to use my best player. I think it's crazy. But as frustrated as I am with that, it is not, to me, the specific reason they lost the game. It contributed to it, and it helped prevent the ability to go win it. But why they lost is overall on the team's lack of urgency in this game. And how poorly they played, and how many missed foul shots they had, how many lousy possessions they had, how many times they turned the ball over in this game, how many missed shots from Brunson, how many missed shots from Karl Anthony Towns, how many missed shots from Bridges, who can't hit. I know he hits that the runner big three. I get it. Other than that, all of his 17 points to me are empty. Including that one, because let's be honest, too little, too late. Too little, too late. And now they better get up for a game 6 and go into Detroit, because you do not want to bring this back for 7. 888-808-1019. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Man, I don't even want to get into that strategy stuff, but I'll tell you what, Chris. If Towns and Jalen Brunson are going to shoot 9 for 30.
Yeah.
The path to a Knicks victory is hard to find.
You're right.
I mean, there it is. I mean, you know, you talked about all those things at the end of the game. And, you know, you said something about, you know, Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. You know, it's one of those moments in NBA film, you know, and they had the Chicago huddle mic'd up. It was like the last 10 seconds of the game or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil is standing there with the whiteboard. And he just looks at the guys and says, get the ball to Michael.
Yeah.
That was the play.
Right.
That was the play that he called.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, all those things that you said are true. But you know what? Bridges is an interesting kind of guy because he's always available. And I will bet money of all the players in the NBA who played 82 games this year, okay,
mm-hmm.
he's probably the only one who shot 50% from the field for the season. All right.
All right.
So he's like, it's a mystery, you know, because what you said about him is true, too. And I mean, look, the whole Villanova thing and all that, but they kind of missed the pit bull mad dog DiVincenzo a little.
Yeah,
moments like this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I guess I'm not saying they don't, but you know that they had him last year and they still couldn't win a game 5 at home. Like, you know, I don't know if that's the recipe for success necessarily, but do you feel like they didn't come out and have a sense of urgency, or at least I didn't feel that from them in this game. They didn't come out and take it. Like, they should have come out with an urgency of let's end this thing right from the jump, and I didn't feel it. But this has been an extremely physical series. Tonight they didn't allow it, but the first 4 games, extremely physical. You know, you don't think the Knicks have matched that physicality and toughness? Like, I feel they have. Like, I don't know if that's the issue necessarily. I miss DiVincenzo because he hit big threes. Like, that's, like, I don't know about,
shot,
I don't know about, I don't know about the pit bull or, and thank you for the call. I don't know about the pit bull nature or they needed this. He brings the toughness. He's the one who gets into the face of the opponent. And blah. Like, that's not where I need him to hit the big three. I need Mikal Bridges to hit the big shot. And time again throughout this entire series, I know he shoots 50% from the field. Okay, great. The impact isn't there. For a guy you traded 5 first-round picks for, the impact isn't there. And he had an opportunity to hit big shots. He didn't. I never felt comfortable. And I know, people, you know, he's the only offense. I've heard that. I'm watching and reading different things and watching the post game, and he scored the most points in the fourth quarter, and the offense ran through him at times, and great. I mean, he wasn't terrible in the fourth quarter, but he wasn't very good in the game. And at the end, like, you watched that game. Did you ever feel like you were comfortable with Bridges taking a big shot? Did you ever feel like, oh, get the ball to Bridges? I just never feel that way. I never feel that way. Ever. I feel that way, get the ball to Carl Anthony Towns. I certainly feel get the ball to Jalen Brunson. I'm never confident. Like, oh, let's set up a shot for Bridges. Oh, there's the outlet pass to Bridges for an open three. I never feel good about it. His mid-range game, I do. Even, I thought he missed some mid-range. I mean, they had a couple sequences there where it was really 2 shots in a row from Brunson and then Bridges where it felt like it was half down and popped out. But, like, his mid-range game is fine, right? That's why he has the 50% free throw, 50% field percentage, because he takes quality shots, and usually inside the arc, he makes them. And I feel like at times they probably should use that more of a threat to get a quick basket. Because he can create some space and hit one of those shots. But he doesn't do it in clutch, and he can't hit an open three to save his life. I know in this game he's 2 for 5, right? So that's 40%. It's not terrible. It's good. But I don't know. It doesn't feel that way. And one of them was the miraculous three at the end of the game. It didn't matter. He was 1-for-4 before that three, and that three didn't matter. And then they can't even hit the foul shot at the end of the game. You need Deuce to hit the first one, miss the second. He can't even hit the first. Like, they miss 11 free throws. Now, I know the last one they miss on purpose. So they missed 10 free throws in this game. And I understand Mitch Robinson took 7 but and missed 4. I don't care. Brunson, 7 after hitting all the foul shots in the first couple games of this series, you know, Brunson, 7-for-10, not good enough. Bridges, you know, 0-for-2. He missed the second one on purpose. That's a, you know, you want to win this game, you got to hit that first three to even give yourself a chance. Like, there were so many, but it's beyond that. And defensively, I mean, you know, too many easy baskets. Like, be honest, watching this game, who had easier shots? Which offense at times got easier baskets? It always felt hard for the Knicks. It felt, even though they weren't shooting the ball all that well, there were times where it's like, well, that was easy. I never felt like the Knicks got an easy basket. There were easy baskets to be had for the Pistons. And, you know, Harris gets hit in the face and he comes back and scores 7 straight points. Cunningham, down the stretch of this game, he's 11 of 12 from the foul line, scores 24 points to lead all scorers. Like, he had a better game than Brunson. And if that's going to happen, they're not going to win. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning. Good. How are you, buddy?
Well, I was happy about that score, 15-3, but the Knicks, you're right. If he's going to have a better game, it's not going to happen. It's not gonna, they're not going to win, and that would be a disappointment getting bounced again before they're supposed to reach the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And like I said to Mike, I said, I don't think, in my opinion, that Thibodeau is the coach to lead them to the next level.
Yeah, I mean, well, that noise is going to continue with moments like that at the end of the game.
Right. I know.
And but if this game even goes 7 and then they get walloped and then, you know, either swept or gentlemen sweep by the Celtics, there's going to be noise. There's no doubt.
Oh, there will be noise. I don't know if he'll survive that noise. I don't know.
I don't know how. Listen,
do you think he would survive?
If they get through this series, I think he survives. Yes. If they lose this series, if they lose this series, and especially the way they would have to lose it to be up 3-1 and blow 3 games in a row, you know, I don't unless he's going to be Doc Rivers talking about, well, no one gives me credit for the 3 wins.
Doc Rivers, I don't understand one thing. How does he get away with it so often, Chris? How does that man get away with talking about, you don't give me credit for 3 wins?
That was some funny line, man.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. If he wins the series, my guess is he comes back. And I wouldn't be overly critical of that decision. Like, honestly, I do think Tibbs is a really good head coach. You know, he's
late. He's complete, though.
I mean, that's the question. That's the question. And if he makes it through the series and loses to the defending champs and see what they do to go on, maybe they win back-to-back, I don't know. If you lose to the Celtics, and especially if you just make it a series, I think you bring him back and see what you could do with the second year with this group. And then that would be it for me. If they can't get past the second round next year, then I think
it's your question.
Then I really think it's time to make a change, because you got to try something new and this group isn't going anywhere. Like, this is the team they put together to try and win a championship. And if he comes up empty again next year, it's almost like, well, now you have to try. Even if it's not his fault, you might have to just try something. And right now, I just...
So who would you pick for his successor?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I don't know. What's his name who got fired?
Malone?
Malone. I mean, he's a... You know, he's an NBA winning champion head coach. That would be an interesting. You know, he's perceived.
How about Mark Jackson?
I don't think I'd go Mark Jackson at this point. He hasn't coached in a long time. I know he once wore a Knick uniform, but we gotta get over ourselves on that. He hasn't coached in a very, very long time, and he was the kind of coach where he got them to a point, and then Steve Kerr came in and won championships with them. So, let's not talk about who would replace Tibbs. We're not there yet. We're in the middle of a series. You know, they still can come out and win game six convincingly, and maybe we'll feel better about them. But off of this performance, I'm disappointed. And yeah, Tibbs had one of those moments where he's sitting there with, you know, not acting. Just allowing the game to slip away. I don't know how you justify it. I don't know how you justify it. And his answers, he had no answer in the postgame. He had no answer. Coaching decision. A lot goes into that decision. That's pretty much what he said. A lot goes into it, but it's my decision. Now, he had no real reasoning. He didn't come out and say, listen, I need that timeout for this, that, and the other. You got to find a way. Do something. You got to call the timeout. It sucks. You'd love to have that timeout. You have to. I cannot play the last 2 minutes of a basketball game. If I'm the Knicks and Brunson is who Brunson is, the most clutch player in the NBA, and him with the ball in his hands at the end of the game is literally the identity of the team. I can't allow that in a possible closeout game in my home floor and try to avoid going to Detroit for game six. I can't allow the offensive possessions we saw with Cameron Payne leading the offense. I can't. I don't care what the circumstances are. I cannot allow that. He had to call a timeout. And he blew it. And he's going to have to live with it. And for all the defenders out there of Tibbs, I'm not saying it's a fireable offense. I'm not saying anything other than I don't know how you sit there and watch that game and that clock tick away without your best player making an impact in the final minutes, which is what he is best at. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you convince yourself that that's the best strategy. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with a little bit of baseball as well. Still take your Knick calls as frustrations are abound. 106-103 Pistons in game five. They will head tomorrow night back to Detroit to try and win this series in six and avoid the two most scary words in professional sports, game seven.